Here's our NFL insider and analyst, former NFL executive writer for The Athletic and host of the GM Shuffle podcast. Here is Michael Lombardi. We've been discussing the Seahawks-Rams game from last night throughout the afternoon, and a number of people out there suggesting Seattle is the best team in the NFC. Do you believe that is true?
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson's certainly the best player in the NFC. I think he's been remarkable. I think when you fact that you gave up almost 500 yards of offense last night in just 24 minutes, it's hard to tell me that you're the best team in the NFC. You know, I mean, that really was a game that the Rams should have won. I mean, I don't think Zuerlein misses too many of those kicks. His first field goal was going straight down that same line and curved back left, and the second one just curved right out. So, you know, I would slow down the brakes a little bit on that. I think that certainly Seattle's a good team. I think Wilson's almost the MVP after 4 weeks. He and Mahomes will share it. But that defense is going to have to come a long way. I mean, look, the Rams went from their own 10-yard line and moved it right down the field, really, without a hiccup.
Well, as for the Rams, that's two losses in a row. Last night was more understandable. They had it. It was on the foot of Zuerlein. He kicked it right. But they showed up. They performed, like you said. Last week was the aberration. They got beat down by Tampa at home, which should never happen. But are there any deeper concerns for you about where the Rams are at right now?
Oh, yeah, you've got to be really concerned about the Rams' defense. I mean, look, they gave up 30 points. They gave up 54 the other night. That's 84 in 2 weeks. They can't cover anybody. They're not a very good zone team. And unless Clay Matthews or Dante Fowler and Darnold get pressure, they really have a hard time. And really, Marcus Peters has played poorly, not tackling very well, doesn't cover anybody, guesses all the time. You know, this whole Rams thing is kind of interesting to watch because they've got to run the football. Todd Gurley, no matter what they say, isn't the Todd Gurley of old. I mean, he doesn't have the same burst or acceleration, doesn't really break tackles. They carried the ball 15 times last night. He's averaged 12 carries a game over the last 16 games counting playoffs. So if he's healthy, that's not what he does. And when the burden of responsibility falls on Goff to win the game, then that becomes a problem. And I think the Rams have deeper issues. Even though they lost that game, they're 3-2, I think they still have issues.
Speaking of the Rams defense, this was just announced. Clay Matthews suffered a broken jaw. He will have surgery and be out at least a month. Now, he's lost a number of steps considering where he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago in Green Bay. But something's up with him in the officiating. We saw multiple times early in the year last year in Green Bay where I felt like he was getting calls against him that were, that quite frankly should not have been called. And I think last night was maybe the most egregious one yet. Shoulder on shoulder. I know they want to protect the quarterbacks, but Russell Wilson had been running all over them all night. He's way outside of the pocket. I thought that was a clean hit and an absolutely egregious flag. What did you make of it?
I thought it was. I think the poor kid gets kind of too many calls against him. It's not fair. I'm sure on Monday when Riveron sends his report back to the team and says, well, sorry, fellas, we missed that call, which is typically what they do. You know, the problem when you break your jaw, you say you're out 4 weeks, but you can't eat. I mean, broken jaw for me might be a good thing because then I would lose 30 pounds. But for poor Clay Matthews, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, true. You know? We could all use a broken jaw right around now.
You know, and so, you know, he can't really, that's a hard thing to overcome. And he really gave them a lot of pressure. He gave them a lot of rush. This Ram defense has zero depth on it. It doesn't have any depth. And every time they lose a marquee player, and this kid was a marquee player for them this year, it's going to really hurt them.
I read an article this morning, and the headline was, is Gardner Minshew the next Tom Brady? Like, I mean, are we...
was that, you know, the Onion that wrote that?
You know, 2 weeks ago, Kellen Moore was the next Bill Belichick. He called 3 first downs in a row, and all of a sudden, we were going to make him Vince Lombardi. I mean, the Kellen Moore trophy we're going to compete for here. I mean, seriously, that's what we do in America. I don't know if you guys do it in Canada. We do it. We can't wait to overvalue. We can't wait to just go full bore. There's no middle ground. You know, the great Alex Ferguson, the soccer coach of Manchester United, has a great line. He says, some people have world-class moments, and some people have world-class careers. I think we need to let Gardner Minshew have more of a world-class career before we anoint him. This will be a challenge this week. The Panthers' defense is really good. They gave up 127 to Kyler Murray last week. They really shut down Deshaun Watson. It'll be a hard game for him to throw the football in.
With Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider, how about the Washington Redskins? I mean, nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises anyone else that's been following this team for a long time. Jay Gruden knows he's done. Right. And now the reports are out there that he's got no interest in Dwayne Haskins. He didn't want them to draft Haskins in the first round this past year at the draft. And he's going with Colt McCoy this weekend against New England. I'm not convinced that Haskins can play if he's ready to play. But this seems like a mutiny. I mean, it seems very clear that Gruden has no time for management, no time for the owner, and knows that he's getting fired at some point.
Look, I said on my podcast, The GM Shuffle, I said that if they come in to fire Gruden, he's probably got a free buffet line in there, and he's serving drinks because he can't wait to get fired.
Right.
I mean, he can't wait. I mean, other than taking the Super Bowl trophies and dragging them in the parking lot, Jay Gruden's done pretty much everything. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He was clear. He didn't want Haskins. Haskins isn't a quarterback for his offense. That's fair enough. This whole team, I've said this before, if the starters aren't ready to play, why does anybody think Dwayne Haskins is ready to play? I mean, the backups can't be ready to play. So I think this is just another mess. They wanted Colt McCoy to be the starter from day one. Unfortunately, he hasn't been healthy. It's a tough team to go in your first start, the New England Patriots, especially where they are on defense.
We've been discussing this for the past couple of weeks. Prominent players who are demanding trades. Jalen Ramsey will not play again this week. He still wants out. Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was a great college player, first-round pick, but no chops at the NFL, demands out, gets his wish. He moves on to Pittsburgh. And now it's become clear that Stephon Diggs is the next man up in Minnesota. This is a trend. I get the impression like NFL players are getting inspired by the NBA. Do you think this is a concern with ownership, management? Where are these trade requests are going?
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, look, I think Minkah Fitzpatrick, they couldn't wait to trade him, especially when they got an unprotected first-round pick from the Steelers. I'm not sure who was happier, Minkah or the Dolphins. I think that we'll come back and revisit that in 6 months. So the Stephon Diggs ones is interesting because, he's got 13 catches this year, doesn't have enough targets, and he's never been a guy to complain. This is out of his personality. So there's something wrong in Minnesota when you hear this. I'm sure there's teams that would be more than willing to give up a high draft pick, but Minnesota's not good enough at receiver to let Stephon Diggs go. So it's a double-edged sword, just like Jalen Ramsey. They don't have enough good players in Jacksonville to let him walk, or just even if you've got two number ones. People forget, when you trade a first-round pick for a player, it's really a player-for-player trade. You're trading a player for a player. You get the player, and they get the unknown. So it's going to take more than just one player to get Jalen Ramsey.
He is Michael Lombardi, longtime NFL executive, writer for The Athletic, and the host of the GM Shuffle podcast. He joins us every Friday. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again this time next week.
Thanks a lot.
Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider.